Okay, good morning. Let's turn our, not hymn books, our notes to page 121. And we're going to have to move along fairly quickly here. It's a decent sized section. I want to try and get through it in five lessons. And so we'll have to perhaps move along a little bit, but trust it'll be a blessing. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, shall we, before we begin. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us, Lord, without, Lord, a direction, Father, in this world, Lord, that you have told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just pray, Lord, that you would make this lesson to be alive and fresh to us, Lord, and that we'd be blessed by it, and also being conscious of the time. And, Lord, that you would indeed speak to us, Lord, and just teach us some things here for you and for your glory. Pray just empty me of myself and with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just bless this lesson to the hearts of all those present, including myself. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Okay, the techniques of personal evangelism. We'll probably be doing five separate lessons on this section here. So I trust that for everyone here who's present, everyone would see the matter of personal evangelism as being something of high importance and a priority. But then we say, okay, yes, I see evangelism, the work of going out and being a witness, personal evangelism, soul winning. I see that as a priority, but how? Okay, I know what we are supposed to do, but how are we supposed to go about it? And I trust that this lesson will help with learning some of the how of winning souls. Okay, the task is, so page 121 in your notes, I think I've already mentioned, the task is straightforward. We are to give the gospel of Christ to anyone and everyone who will listen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Also speaks in the New Testament there about warning every man. Okay, so every human being is a potential candidate for salvation, and if God was to, the will of God, the desire of God, should I say, is that all men would be saved. Okay, so we don't know everyone who will, but you just do not know who will get saved and who will not. So any lost person is a potential candidate for salvation. Lost souls are everywhere. It is impossible to miss them. You would have passed multiple lost souls today on the road, weren't even thinking about it. But eternal souls going past you or overtaking you or you overtaking them. They're everywhere. However, each soul encountered is an individual. They have their own unique story. They live under their own set of circumstances, and they will come with varying degrees of spiritual interest and understanding. For this reason, there can be no set methodology in soul winning. Okay, so obviously the message is still the same, but the way that you're going to deal with each individual is going to be different. Okay, I find this is very important here. You see on the fourth paragraph down, it starts with this lecture, outlines the essential techniques of effective soul winning from start to finish. Now, this is important here. I'm going to read this to you. The student must understand that learning how to win souls is not an overly academic exercise. There is a large experiential component to it. The more one engages in personal evangelism, the better one becomes at personal evangelism. Soul winning is an ever-learning process, molded and enhanced by successes and failures, questions that are asked, and the situations and responses encountered. Sin is an ugly thing that entangles a sinner far worse than any tangled fishing line. Every presentation of the gospel to a sinner will contribute to the soul winner's repertoire in some way. So a large experiential component, okay? You can learn about it. It's good you're here this course, learning this. There's a large experiential component to personal evangelism and soul winning, okay? You have to be on the job to really learn about it, okay? You can read books on fishing. You can study fishing line, you can study fishing rods, hooks, lures, baits, weather conditions, and that's good. But if you're going to catch fish, you've got to go fishing. Okay? You can read books about horses. You can watch videos about horse riding. You can learn about the saddle and the bridle. You can learn about all those things. But the day is going to come, okay, when you're going to have to saddle up, take a grip of that mane, if it's got one, with your left hand, foot into the stirrup, knee into the shoulder, spring off that right leg, swing in. Okay, that's when you're really going to learn how to ride. So when it comes to soul winning, if you're going to win souls and if you're going to become an effective soul winner, you must be a part of it. Don't wait until you've read every book on soul winning or learned every lesson on soul winning. You've got to be a part of it. There's a large experiential component. Okay, you've got to come eyeball to eyeball with lost souls and talk with them, and that is a big way in how you will learn. I shouldn't have said that, okay, or I should have said this, okay, you'll get those situations, I shouldn't have said it in that way, or, you know, you learn all these sorts of things. I think a better approach with that person would have been, and you learn. Okay, firstly, locate the contact. A contact means a person who is willing to talk with you about spiritual matters. He or she may be a fleeting contact, a brief one-time encounter, or a prolonged contact, someone who is willing to hear thee again of this matter. A spiritual conversation is one where you get to talk about, one, sin and its consequences, death, life after death, and eternity, Jesus Christ, salvation and eternal life. Okay, so those are the main components you want to get to, okay, with talking to that person. You can talk about a lot of things. Sometimes you only have liberty to go so far, but you want to eventually try to narrow down and get to that. A person generally becomes a contact because they have a sense of need and because they are given hope outside of themselves. Soul winners have the joy of presenting the hope of the gospel, Colossians 1:23, to them. Okay, remember, before we can have an impact, we have to make contact. Now, that's important, that part there about having a sense of need. I think we as human beings are generally driven by a couple of things: retribution and reward. Okay, something out of fear we're motivated, something I don't want, or desire for something because we want it. A lot of people don't see the need to seek for God because, quite simply, they don't see any need. They don't see the need of their sins being forgiven. Why would I go to church? Why would I read the Bible? They don't see the need. Okay? All right, but a lot of people will have become a contact because they have a sense of need. All right, obtaining contacts. Contacts are found, one, casually. All right, this is important. We come into contact with people every day while shopping or attending to business, at restaurants or during times of travel and recreation. They are in our neighbourhoods. Soul winners must develop the habit of being soul conscious, realising that any person they are interacting with is a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. Okay, we come into contact with people all the time. And be soul conscious, okay, you might find that you were just going about your daily business and the Lord brings you into contact with somebody, waiting at the bus stop, or you missed your train, or some way through work, and you come into contact with someone and be soul conscious and say, has the Lord brought me in contact with this person for a reason? You know, I've missed my train and that's all I can think about. Well, hang on, was there a reason for that? Oh, you don't know. Does God work like that? Yes. Okay, you think about in the Bible, Philip, God took him all the way out to the Gaza Strip to speak to one man. Brought the sinner and the soul winner into contact with each other. So have a mindset and a heart attitude to say, Lord, you've told me to be a soul winner. Lord, you want me to share the gospel with others. Lord, I'm this vessel for you to use. And so, Lord, I'm going to, by your grace, have my eyes open to opportunities that you give me. And be prayerful and say, Lord, is this an opportunity? Opportunity for a car or for a tractor or for whatever reason. Okay, people or a conversation. Okay, and by the way, you can't really judge, okay, not effectively, not properly, who is interested and who is not. If you judge by someone's appearance, you might be very shocked that there is a desire there. I spoke to a guy just recently when we were letterboxing. Bikey looking guy, singlet, ink absolutely everywhere, tattoo around his eye and everything like that. Don't think he's saved, but a very religious, deep spiritual desire. Got stuff written on his Harley, you know, or on his motorbike and things on the wall in his shed and everything. Probably needs to be saved, but religious. Someone else recently I spoke to through work had a sign out the front next to the door saying no Bible bashers, no salespeople, had this list there. But working the house, got to stop work and just speak with this lady for a while and talk to her, invite her to church and you know, and so forth. And, you know, I believe even Measure talked about salvation as well. Heaven, hell. Lord can open these opportunities. Okay, but if you think, if you're going about this mindset that no one's interested, and people don't want to know and whatever, you don't know. You do not know what is in the inner sanctum of that person you are speaking to. Regardless of their appearance, regardless of what you think, you do not know what's going on inside their heart. Only God does. And the only way, really, you can begin to know what is going on inside their heart in a measure is if they tell you. Okay, so just remember that. All right, so need to share that. Share the word wherever we go. The most important goal of this kind of contact is to plant the seed. Whether a casual contact opens the door to a more thorough presentation of the gospel or not, a seed always has the potential for life and fruit at some other point. You might only be planting the seed. You might not harvest that soul, but you are planting the seed. The seed is the word of God, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Okay, so the seed is the word of God, not merely some kind of encouraging words or an invitation to attend a church meeting. That's a good thing to do. But how may we sow seed? Okay, by using a gospel tract. All right, Baptists should be in the habit of having gospel tracts on hand at all times. Okay, tract to the person at the fuel station. Tract on the, as you're going through the drive-through at Macca's. Tract to someone at the bus stop that you have a conversation with. Tract to someone in the shops that you talk with. Remember one time spoke to a lady. I think it was something to do with shopping. For some reason we talked and I left, and then I thought about it. Went back, found her, gave her one of those little cards. So it's good to do that. And you can, and sometimes if it's, you're not having a conversation, if you're just sharing something, you can just say something kind to them like, I hope you take some thought for your soul. Well, it's a very short life. I hope you take some thought for your soul. And just convey that you care there. So gospel tracts. When handing someone a tract, a polite way to introduce it might be, may I give you something to read? What it has to say really helped to straighten out my life. Most people have spiritual needs, even if they don't express them. Did you get one of these? This approach makes people feel as though they're missing out on something. Have you seen this? This approach creates curiosity. I have a gift to give you for helping me out. Use this kind of approach if they have responded to a survey or have assisted you in some way. Pastor Piper's one method is, he says, this is for you. And if you say, can I give you this? People say no. But this is for you. Okay, that's one of the ways, that's his primary way of handing a tract to somebody. Use only gospel tracts that are scriptural in their presentation of truth. Be sure the gospel and the way of salvation by grace through faith, repentance in Christ, is stated clearly. Okay, so, sometimes some tracts, they might be written well-meaning, okay, but they're not really clear. Okay, they might help someone who is well schooled in the scriptures already but not saved, but some people, it may leave a lot of gaps in their understanding. It needs to be, have the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Clear in their wording. Many tracts are written by well-meaning Christians who use familiar to them Bible speak words or concepts that are foreign or confusing to many lost people. Okay, so if it's got words in it that the average person isn't going to understand, talking about propitiation or atonement or something like that, and they don't know what that means. Okay, you've got to use basic, not watered down language, but basic language that people understand. Okay, because even in conversation, you might be putting terminology out there and it's just going because they don't know. They may never have even been to church, and they're just missing what you're saying. Okay, so words or concept not clear in their wording. Attractive. More and more people are receptive to the visual approach. Tracts need to be eye-catching, uncluttered, and use good grammar. Okay, Pastor Paul has said that that God has given us the eye gate and the ear gate. Okay, so that's ways you can present the gospel to people. The ear gate, okay, so when you speak to them in the eye gate, is pictures. So tracts sometimes with appropriate and good pictures is good for people to visualise things. You've heard the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Okay, so something that's got appropriate pictures and is eye-catching, uncluttered, uses good grammar. Okay, another way is a personal testimony. Okay, that can be quite powerful. Sharing with the person what has happened to you. Okay, you can talk all about, it's good to talk about the gospel and what it does, but you can explain personally, this is what happened to me. A testimony is always best when accompanied by a tract. So give them the tract, okay, so they've got that. Personal testimony tracts combine both elements, testimony plus scripture. Okay, so sometimes you might have written a tract, okay, obviously it needs to be to glorify the Lord, not self, okay, about how you got saved and what Christ did in your life. Including one's photograph on the tract makes it that much more personal and appealing. Okay, he mentions here social media being another avenue. I would not recommend that. Okay, so using something like Facebook. I know a brother, well-meaning, decided he'd try and use Facebook as a means of evangelism, and he decided eventually he had to get off it. Okay, because just your eye gate getting hit with all sorts of rubbish. Although he was trying to do the right thing, sending Bible verses out and everything like that, it's just too polluting. So I don't recommend social media as far as things like Facebook. A thought-provoking question is another way. Okay, Jesus often used objects and scenarios that were at hand to open the door to a spiritual conversation. For example, he spoke about water to the woman at Jacob's well. Experience is a great teacher in this matter, and soul winners should develop their ability to lead conversation into the spiritual realm. Okay, so to move from the everyday, transitioning over to spiritual things. Okay, because otherwise it's like a big jolt. Hello, and then, you know, if you're straight in, it might be a bit of a jolt. Now, sometimes it's okay to ask a thought-provoking question straight up, okay, and it's appropriate to do so. But sometimes you may more transition over to that sort of thing. So one of the ways I seek to transition to that or to open up that is, you know, through my work, okay, I tell them how that I'm a carpenter and I try and do this a couple of days a week, and I said I'm also a pastor at a church. And so, and I tell them, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my days for work, and then Thursdays and Fridays are office days, and I look after a youth group and young adults group as well, and then that can open up a conversation. Where's the church? And so on and so forth, and you can move, ask them questions and move over to the gospel, okay? Because that can be a hard thing, is how do I start? How do I get there? Okay, so for you, it might be that you talk about your church. Say, oh yeah, one of my friends from a church is a whatever, a handyman, or one of my friends from church is into IT, and you know, or just at church on the weekend, and that might actually help. And they say, oh, what church? Okay, yeah, and then you can tell them 145 Nelson Road, Para Vista. You know, explain there's three churches there: there's Uniting Church, the Baptist Church, SDS Gospel. Sorry, we're the Baptist Church. And some of them might know, oh yeah, and they know which one it is, or whatever. Okay, and you can transition over that way into a conversation. Where are we? Okay, so asking questions. Asking basic what and why questions can draw someone into a spiritual conversation and challenge their belief. Okay, sometimes it's better to ask questions which don't require just a brief one-word response, like yes or no. Because then it's like, okay, now where do I go from here? Okay, can I come with another question? Yes. Another question? No. Yes. And you're not drawing them out. But if you can ask questions, how, when, where, why, perhaps, to bring them out more, and where they'll have to give you more than just a one-word answer in discussing with you. Questions can be asked in the context of current events. Many people are fearful of what the future holds. You know the Bible has something to say about that. Okay, you can explain when people are in a cross and they don't understand why. Okay, like the way the world is today, we have the biblical answers from prophecy. Okay, we can see where this is all headed. Current issues, societal issues such as abortion, okay, same-sex marriage, you need to be careful these days that someone doesn't try to sue you or something like that, so you just got to be wise. And narcotic legalization can provide a springboard. Be careful not to raise issues that are likely to turn more political than spiritual, okay, and the conversation just becomes a political discussion or whatever, and the gospel gets sidelined. Okay, so you want to use these things as springboards to get into the real conversation and to try. And you may even, at times when you're talking with the person, you may let the conversation go that way for a while. You might talk about that political issue. You might discuss with them about that personal thing they're struggling with, or their family member, or whatever it is. And then seek to bring the conversation back over to the gospel again. And even sometimes, as it were, deviating in the conversation like that and speaking with the person, I think that can be valuable sometimes. Okay, it shows that you're real. Okay, the person appreciates that you might be taking a personal interest in them. You're not just there just saying, listen, close your mouth while I give you this. Okay, you're actually having a two-way discussion with them. You're being real with them, but seeking then to bring them back to their real need. Okay, the gospel. and being saved, obviously. Interesting facts, especially about the natural world, God's creation. Okay, you can talk to them about creation. Okay, then, you know, you can say, you know, you can talk to them. Just say, you know, looking at all of this, okay, it just cannot be random chance. You know, nothing makes itself. You can't do the most basic task like sweeping a floor without a brain, without hands, you know, just even a basic task. There's no way, you know, something so complex as this world universe could have come about by random chance. Now, at spiritual concerns, for example, you could ask a question like this. If you were to die right now, where would you go? All right, Pastor Piper has a very specific question he uses. It's something I might have it word for word, but he's very specific about the way it should go. If you were to die tonight, and I hope you don't, would you be 100% sure if you would go to heaven? Right, so good question to ask. And then, I mean, if they're not saved, they're not going to be able to say no. They might say, oh, I hope so. Oh, 80% sure. Or if they say no, you can say, would you like to be sure? Say yes. Okay, there's your opportunity. Share the gospel. Okay, so you've brought it right down to the crux of the matter. Are you 100%, if you were to die tonight, and I hope you don't, okay, so you're conveying care, I hope you don't, would you be 100% sure if you would go to heaven? No? Okay, would you like to be sure? Oh, yeah, I suppose. Okay, this piece of paper here explains from the Bible how we can be 100% sure if you could go to heaven. Would you be so kind as to read this verse here and start taking them through blow by blow? Okay, see that? So, I mean, sometimes that can just get you to the issue, to the discussion, rather than sort of having to go a long way here, there, everywhere. Okay, sometimes just when you door knock, okay, hand them the tract, one question before I go, please, if I may, and then launch into the question from there. Okay, avoid using non-scriptural scenarios such as if you were to knock on the door of heaven, why should St. Peter let you in? Thought-provoking questions should, at the very least, be supplemented with the tract and or a personal testimony. Okay, so give them the thought-provoking question. If possible, try to give them the answer as well. Intentionally, prospects can also, they can be found casually. Okay, and that's important. When we did the church history course at Bible College, the lecturer told us that one of the most effective ways that the gospel spread, well, it was through like probably in like the early church or through time since the time of Christ, was people gossiping the gospel. Okay, telling people they met at work or however people they just came into contact with and just share the gospel, and that was the most effective ways. Okay, people that you know, people you come into contact with business, people you come into contact with sport, people you come into contact at the shops, just people that you are rubbing shoulders with, okay, people that are opportunities for you to share with them. Okay, so sharing casually. It's good to go intentionally, but sharing casually with people when you come into contact with them. Okay. Intentionally, prospects can also be found through organized efforts by the church. Examples are community outreach. Most Baptist churches schedule regular times for members to go from house to house in their community. The purpose is twofold. Okay, one, to present the gospel by tract, testimony, or tongue. Secondly, to invite those in the home to attend a church meeting. Okay, so that's a valuable thing to do. Go out and to door knock, okay, and share. You'll get people who don't want to know, okay, but there can be people who are interested as well. And don't have the mindset that no one in Australia wants to hear. There are people who have spiritual desires, okay, and interests, and you don't know, okay, until you speak with them. Someone says, get lost, get out of here, you're a Bible basher, go away, okay? That's your choice, but for all we know, there might be someone at the next house, okay? That person who is so rude can't make that decision for everyone. They can make that decision for themselves, but there might be somebody else who wants to know. Okay, now, this is quite important. In today's increasingly godless society, it is unrealistic to expect or attempt to win someone to Christ there and then on their doorstep. Now, I would say there would be situations, I'm sure, where a person can get saved on the first visit, okay, where you talk with them, share the gospel, and they are ready to get saved. I wouldn't rule that out to say that's never the case. Okay, but as our society slips, keeps on following the Romans 1 decline, going, just continually going down, moving further and further away from God, and people are less churched and less have less understanding about the Bible and the and who Christ is and that sort of and so forth and what the gospel is all about. You need to have a more informed approach with people. Okay, so years ago, all right, there's a lot of people, they weren't saved, but they believed that the Bible was the word of God. Okay, they believed that Jesus Christ literally died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Okay, they believed that. But they had not yet placed their personal faith and trust in him. And they were perhaps trusting their good works. Someone comes along, gives them a clear presentation of the gospel that is salvation by grace through faith, apart from works. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You know, repent, turn, trust Christ, and people get saved like that. Okay, but as people change, as our society is changing, and with all of the school system changing, evolution, atheism, all these things getting pushed onto people, quite often we're going to need to have a more informed approach. Okay, it's not as easy, as it were, to be able to scoop people in who are ripe and ready for the picking. The goal should be to find prospects for a salvation Bible study. Okay, that is really good. If you can get to the stage where you can say with that person, you know, can we meet up and have a discussion about these things? And organise a time, a proper time where you can sit down with them, okay, at their kitchen table or your kitchen table or somewhere, and go through and have an in-depth discussion about the gospel, okay, and move slowly through, making sure they understand everything. If you can get to that point where someone can have a Bible study with you, that is good. Okay, the cults do that. Try and get them into a Bible study. It's actually a watchtower study, okay, with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Say it's a Bible study and try and have that study with them. So if we can do that in the right way, that's good. Okay, so yeah, a lot of people need an informed approach. The tools for community outreach include tracts, church invitations, newsletters and papers, flyers advertising special preaching or church events, scripture portions, usually John and Romans, and invitations to receive a home Bible study or a correspondence Bible course with a mail-in response card. The Lord's command is for churches to go out and preach the gospel. There is no command given to sinners to come in to church, and that is so important. You have to go out. And if you're going to be a soul winner, it's not a matter of waiting for them to come to you. You must go to them. All right? And so if you want to be a soul winner, you must be a part of it. You won't be able to be an effective soul winner. Okay? It may be that every now and then, sure, it's happened where people have been out fishing and a fish has jumped straight into the boat, all right, or accidentally flipped into their net and they've caught them. Okay, but usually you have to do it. You've got to do the fishing. Okay, same with evangelism. You need to go to them. A danger with planned or scheduled prospecting campaigns is to diminish any sense of 24/7 responsibility in witnessing. I don't need a witness because I go Saturday mornings. That's when I do my outreach and, you know, you feel like I don't need to. Okay, even you might get yourself into a place where you feel in your comfort zone to witness. It was strange. I found that when I was in Sydney. I felt like when I was in Parramatta, I felt like I was in a comfort zone where I could witness. But yet I struggled to witness on my way there. Strange, when I was walking there. But I felt in a comfort zone in that place. Okay, so don't think that because you do soul winning at a specific time that you don't have the responsibility to be a witness everywhere and always. Do's and don'ts for community outreach. I have to go through this quite quick. Do be organised. Have areas and streets mapped out and teams in place. Husband and wife, two men or two ladies make the best teams. Do be safety conscious. Keep other teams in sight and assign one or more men to keep a watchful eye on teams involving women or youth. Okay, you got going out there with good intention, okay, but there are evil people out there, okay, and they'll just try to do something or whatever, something inappropriate, and you just got to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, okay, because you can come across some bad eggs. Do dress appropriately for weather conditions and as ambassadors for Christ and representatives of the church, observe dress standards, okay? So you don't have to dress to the nines, but dress cleanly, okay, and appropriately. Look neat and tidy. You're representing the Lord first and foremost, okay? Also, when you're going out on outreach, you're representing the church as well, okay? So dress appropriately. Do be well groomed and be especially conscious of your breath. Have a pleasant smile, okay? And poor person standing there. What I'm hearing is very good. What I'm smelling is very bad. Okay, so breath mints are good. Just be conscious of that. Smile. It's important. Okay, people often read you, not the literature you give them. Okay, so being friendly, being personable, smiling to them, being polite. Okay, you're going when you go to someone's house. Okay, you're going onto their property or the property that they're leasing. Be respectful. Do carry a small Bible or New Testament in addition to tracts and church brochures. I need to get one myself. Do carry a pen and notebook to record names and addresses. There might be someone, you'll write down their address and their name and say, I need to go back and see that person, or give them an invite to a meeting. Don't walk on lawns where there is a path. Okay, so some people get a bit thingy about you walking on their grass. Don't peer into windows. Okay, someone comes along and you know someone's there looking through the window and staring at things. Okay, it's a bit rude. Okay, so just don't sort of be too intense about that sort of thing. Just go to the door and do the job. Don't leave gates open. All right, might let their dog out or something like that. Always show respect and good manners. Okay, be polite. Right, try not to get into an argument with them. Do be careful when around dogs. Okay, just watch out for that. Just look, is there a dog around here somewhere? Is it locked up? Move slowly and don't attempt to pet them. Okay, or as we would say, pat them. Don't knock on doors at inappropriate times. Okay, dinner time or when it is late in the evening. Okay, so just be mindful of the thing. Don't pound on the door or knock incessantly. Okay, don't sound aggressive when you're knocking on the door. Oh, someone's here ready to beat me up. Okay, or I'm coming. All right. Sometimes an old person, they need time to get to the door. Okay, probably 3 to 5 knocks, or and wait. Okay, in a while. Not sure if they've heard me. You might give another rap, 3 or 5 raps. Okay. Do be observant. Stickers on a parked vehicle, children's shoes or toys, religious icons, etc., can give insight as to whom you are likely to meet. Okay, taking in those things around you without peering, especially through the window. Okay, can give you an idea of who you might be talking to. Don't violate the law. Okay, respect no soliciting and no trespassing signs. Okay, if people say, you know, no Bible bashes and whatever, you might say, okay, well, maybe I won't knock on this one. Okay, but I'll leave that up to you. note the address. Literature can be mailed in afterwards. Okay, there's a thing about not putting it in post box. That's for the US. Do leave some literature at the door of homes where no one is home. Make it sure it is secure and won't blow away and become unsightly trash. Okay, try not to just don't stick it on where the handle is, because if people are going through casing places to try and steal and they see that someone's tried to go there, left literature, they know no one's home and they can break in. Okay, so try to slip it under the door or somewhere where it's not too visible for someone walking through. Don't enter a home where only children are present or an adult of the opposite sex is the only adult present. Okay, if you enter a home and it's only a teenage child there and the parent comes home, they go, who are these strangers in my home talking to my child? Okay, so just be aware of that. Do have one team member do the talking. The other member should pray and only interject when appropriate. Okay, don't make it look like there's two people at the person at the door. Okay, so just let one person do the majority of the talking. One can interject sometimes, but pray there. And just be patient if you're the person who's standing there. Okay, you might think they should have said this or said that. Okay, we go in weakness. Pray, help out where you can. Don't argue with people. If you're asked to leave the property, do so as quickly and courteously as possible. Okay, so I don't have a problem with having a robust discussion with someone. Okay, but when they finally, if they lose it and they don't want you there, just go. Talking with one guy one time, and so we're having a debate, and he ended up telling me to, I'll put it nice terms, get lost. And I said, do you want me to go? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, no worries. Turned around, walked away, said, you have a good day. What's the point? He doesn't want me there. He doesn't want to talk to me. Okay, go somewhere else. It's a waste of time to be there anyway. Try not to get into an argument, okay? Have a discussion with them, a polite discussion, can even be a robust discussion, but be polite. Try not to get into a situation where you're hitting heads, okay? An argument has been described as two people talking with no one listening, all right? So there's no point to it. Do report any incidents or confrontations to a pastor or the one organising the outreach effort, okay? So you might be able to learn from a situation, okay? The person who's leading the outreach might say, okay, so probably in next time don't say that. That might have unnecessarily inflamed them. Okay, or if it's a serious thing, okay, where someone is inappropriate in some way, don't think, oh, I won't say anything, okay, talk about it, okay, because there can be sometimes if legal action needs to be taken place when someone's done something inappropriate, it needs to be reported. Wow, we're going to have to. Oh, yeah, I think we'll be right. Special events outreach is another way. Organised evangelism can be done wherever people congregate for special events. Examples of this would include setting up a booth at a fair or at a show. Okay, North has done an outreach at the Adelaide show before. Participation in community parades, local non-professional sporting events, cultural and religious festivals, public markets, international events such as the Olympic Games, the Commonwealth Games, regional tournaments, World Cup, football, soccer and cricket, etc. Social outreach. Helping people is a great way to meet and understand people. Outreach of this nature might include inviting church visitors to your home or to a restaurant for a meal, meeting sailors and mariners from ships that dock if you live near a port, seeking out new immigrants or refugees and welcoming them into the community, okay? So you can have targeted outreaches for certain people groups or people in a certain way, or, you know, maybe military, okay? A special outreach towards military people, or, you know, or police or whatever it be, you can have a focused outreach. Migrants or refugees coming in, okay, I think are good. Anyone's a potential contact, okay, but they come into the country, they don't really know anybody, they might have questions, they might even have interest to know what Christianity is all about, and there's an opportunity there for you to reach out to them, befriend them, talk to them about the gospel. Okay, unfortunately, some of the cults do this. When I was in Sydney, I learned a bit of Farsi, living the same guy as a guy from Iran, room as a guy from Iran and a lot of Iranians at the church I was at, so I learned some Farsi. Went to a shop where the guy was an Iranian guy, and I spoke a bit of Farsi to him, and he said, "Are you a Jehovah's Witness?" He said, "The Jehovah's Witnesses come in here, and they're speaking Farsi." So they know people coming in, and the cults are after them. Quite sad. And I think the Mormons as well reach out to these people coming in as well, try and make them twofold more the child of hell. So anyway, but it's good if we can do that, obviously with the right message and in the right way. Providing community meals, food banks, or other relief supplies, volunteer work, doing yard work or other chores at the home of an elderly person, etc. Obviously, it is important to keep the reason for doing these kinds of outreach in perspective. The objective is to present the gospel of Christ, not a social gospel. Okay, so to simply just go and do good things for people and just try to simply influence them by your life without and not your lips is not a good thing. Okay, to help people with needs and neglect their greatest spiritual need, their greatest need they have, is a great disservice. Making people more comfortable, more at peace in a way before they spend eternity in hell. Okay, just terrible. Okay, so don't neglect the gospel. Religious survey outreach. Another way to gather prospects is to conduct a religious census. This involves workers going from house to house and asking a predetermined set of questions that, when compiled, will provide a good understanding of how people are thinking about spiritual matters. It can also help identify hot spots of interest. Questions need to be carefully selected and worded and geared to the natural openness or lack thereof of the community. Now, just let me just say, doing that sort of outreach is not to tailor a church to people's wants. Okay? Asking people who are spiritually blind what they think church should be and then trying to make the church like that. Absolutely not. No, but trying to see where people are at. A survey should consist of general questions to gain the confidence of the interviewee. Okay, you might have some simple questions, easy to answer questions at the beginning. Where possible, these questions should ask for a range of possible answers rather than specific answers. Okay, you want to try and get a genuine understanding of where people are at from the survey. So you can ask questions like, how long have you lived in the area? What is your age bracket? Are you serving / have you served in the military? Okay, you can start that way. Then, spiritual questions to probe the thinking and spiritual condition of the interviewee, such as, do you believe in God? Do you belong to a religious faith? If so, what? When did your religion become meaningful to you? How important is your religion in your life? What is the most important belief of your religion? What do you want others to know about your faith? What do you believe about Christianity? What do you believe about the Bible? Do you believe in heaven, hell? How can a person go to heaven? Has anyone explained to you God's way of salvation? Would you be interested in a personal Bible study? And we are out of time. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you, Lord, for the information in this course, Lord. Help us to be led of your Spirit, Lord, to seek to gain contacts, Lord, in everyday life. Father, give us that boldness that we need as we walk with you. And, Lord, we just pray that You would just help us all to become those fishers of men, Lord, to be soul winners, we do pray, and to use, Lord, the opportunities that you give us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.